Here in the sanctuary. Amen. Here we go. So we'll just rewind. Take it from the top. I like that. So I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Good morning, Taylor Nation. Good morning, family. Good morning, friends. Good morning to those who are watching via the internet. And good morning to those who have joined us in the sanctuary. We greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where we are streaming live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the elder Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. So this is Family and Friends Day. Family and Friends Day. But how many know that in the body of Christ, we go from friends to family? For greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to become sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, making us all family. So we can go from celebrating Family and Friends Day to just having a family reunion. Amen? Amen. So at this time, I will invite you to all stand to your feet, all those who are able, as we will have our opening prayer and our scripture. Amen? Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, your name is worthy to be praised. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the blessing of seeing the wonderful works of your creation for another day. We stand in awe for who we are when we compare ourselves to your majesty. For we are lost people that need to be found. We are dead men walking that need to be made alive. We are sinners in need of a Savior. So we come to you broken and beaten. We come to you tired and stressed. We come to you, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. For we put our trust in you and you alone. So no matter what the circumstance, no matter where we find ourselves in the storms of life, we know that you are greater than any situation. So we lift to you all of our problems. We lift up to you all we love. We lift up to you all we care for and ask that you bless them and meet their needs. So Lord, we thank you as we celebrate our Family and Friends Day. We thank you for those who have supported us, both financially and prayerfully. And we just celebrate this day together. We ask a special blessing on Pastor Jeffrey Gibbs as he will share with us this day. So, Lord, we commit this day to you. We ask for you to go before us. Let your Holy Spirit guide us in the ways we should go. All these blessings we ask in the name of the only begotten Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, our scripture reading will be coming from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Again, that's Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. And I will be reading from the New King James Version. And if you are there, you will find these words. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Just a quick Housekeeping note, we will have the overflow available for those who are interested in going upstairs. And certainly, you can just walk right along the side of the church, right up the steps to the overflow. That the overflow is available this Sunday. And at this time, I will turn the service over to the praise and worship team. Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord.
I'm Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hey, glory. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Thank you. Hallelujah.
People from every nation,
people from every
Glory to God. From generation to generation to generation, you are God. Oh, bless his name. Oh, bless his name. Has he been good in your generation? Oh, bless his name. Has he been good in your children's generation? Oh, bless his name. Has he been good in your grandchildren's generation? Thou art good forever and ever. Somebody give his name a praise. Wow. Generation after generation after generation after generation. Oh my God, somebody ought to praise him. God. If he's been good in your generation, you've got 30 seconds to give the Lord some kind, any kind of praise right now. Go for it. Go for it. Yes. Yes. Woo! I dare you to give him the glory. Yes. Yes. Give him a pandemic praise. My. He deserves a generational praise. The psalmist said, I was once young, but now I'm old. Never have I ever seen the righteous forsaken, all God's seed begging bread. Somebody give him a praise. Thank you. My God, my God. He was good to my grandparents. Good to my parents. Good to my wife. Good to my children. Good to my children's children. Even until the fourth generation. Woo! Yeah, we got something. We've got a reason to praise God. My. Woo! When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that is done for me. Wait. Kim got here late, so we can't let her praise the Lord by herself. Go for it. Go. Get your shit. Woo! Look at the children praising God. Look at your grandbabies praising God. We got to get out of this. This is what I call thanksgiving. Thanks be unto the Lord, our God. He's mighty. He's awesome. He's a wonder. Woo! Let's quit. I gotta quit. The only difference, when we were young, we knew when to stop praising God and sit down. But this generation, they don't care. They love to praise God. They love to give Him glory. Woo! I feel you, Pop. Help yourself, Pop. Yes. Yes. Woo! Generation to generation. God has been good. Woo! My. Woo! Hey, Bishop. Look at what you see. Yes. Yes. Yes! 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 Woo! Woo! That's how good He's been. That's how good He's been. Yes. 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 He's been good. Woo! Oh my. From generation to generation, thou art God. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. That's all this is, Jeff. That's just God's faithfulness. That's all it is. God being true to his word. God keeping his promises. Great is thy faithfulness. Woo! That's all it is, Dad. That's been faithful. Generation to generation to generation. Our God is faithful. No. I got to get out of this. I got to get out of this. Here in the sanctuary, we got to stop. Upstairs and over the internet. You can praise him as much as you want. Because great is the Lord's faithfulness. And today we are all witnesses. The might of our God. Somehow. The pandemic didn't stop his faithfulness. Corona couldn't quench God's faithfulness. He said morning by morning. Great, great, great. That great means greater. Greater is the Lord our God. Oh, bless his name. And today, we're going to go from one generation to another generation. So we're going to invite the Young Life Experience to come and bless us before the word of God.
We just want to sing a simple song, and it just says, I'll never be defeated. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, I'll never be defeated. I'll still be victorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
The song comes out like this.
Oh, yeah.
And because God is the greatest power. We shall never, never be defeated. And because God is the greatest power, we shall never, never be defeated. You gotta say that, and because?
And because God is the greatest power.
Isn't he great?
We shall never,
never be defeated.
And because God is the greatest power, we shall never, never be defeated. And because God
is the greatest power, hallelujah,
is the greatest power, we shall never, never be defeated.
And the next part is like such a simple song. It's such a beautiful song. It just goes, I shall rise, I shall be, I shall rule in victory. No weapon formed against me will never overtake me. And because God, thanks.
And because God is the greatest power, we shall never, never be defeated. And because God is the greatest power, we shall never, never be defeated. And because God is the greatest power, we shall never, never be defeated. And because God is the greatest power, we shall never, never be defeated.
The devil is a liar. God is a God. Never be defeated. Never be defeated. The devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar.
I just want to say God is exalted.
God is exalted.
Say never be defeated.
Never be defeated.
Never, never.
Never be defeated.
Never the liar thing.
The devil is a liar. God is exalted.
Say, never be defeated.
Never be defeated.
Never be defeated.
Never be defeated.
The devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar.
God is exalted.
God is exalted.
Never be defeated.
Never be defeated.
Never be defeated.
Never be defeated.
The devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar.
God is exalted.
God is exalted.
Never be defeated.
Never be defeated.
Never be defeated.
Never be defeated.
The devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar.
God is exalted.
Never be defeated.
Never be defeated.
Never be defeated.
Never be defeated.
The devil is a liar. God is exalted.
Never be defeated.
Never be
my God. The devil is defeated. And God is exalted. Devil, you're a liar. We shall never be defeated. We got to get out of here. Oh, my goodness. Wow. From generation to generation, thou art God. Today we are living witnesses to the faithfulness of our God. We're about to witness another generation. Though separated by distance, yet still a part of God's family. So glad for this young man. Willing to give his life for the cause of Christ. So many of our young stars have fallen from the sky. But yet God in his faithfulness has upheld this young man by his own right hand. Today he shines brightly, not with his own glory, but with the glory that comes from the Son of God. He too is just another example of God's faithfulness. He's got it on display. It's on full display. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me, not only here in the sanctuary, not only upstairs in our overflow, but with you at home, will you stand with us? As you're standing, they wanted me to make the announcement, the overflow is open. So if you want to head out the back and head around, the overflow is open. You need more seating capacity. Plenty of room upstairs. Plenty of room. Come on, lift me your right hand. Point it at the man of God. God bless Pastor Jeffrey Gibbs Jr. God bless Pastor Jeffrey Gibbs Jr. Come on, give God a praise for him. Come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on!
If you will, I just want you to slip your hands in the air. The Spirit of God is already here. And our job, oh, thank you, is not to try and do something in place of what God can do. We don't come to church to position ourselves to move and to heal and to deliver out of our own strength. Hey, she, oh, bye-bye, say, listen. We come for this moment. You didn't come to hear a preacher. You didn't come to hear a singer. You came to interact with the Almighty God. Come on, lift your hands and Lift up your expectation and position yourself. Open your mouth and just give God some praise now. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. God, we glorify you. We lift your name. We lift your name. We bless you, for you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Listen, I will tell you, this is what we came for. And at this point, you don't have to wait for anything else. You don't have to wait for the preacher to call for deliverance in order to be delivered. You don't have to wait for an altar call for the power of God to move and save and set free. We do not have to wait for an appropriate moment to enter into his courts, come on y'all, with thanksgiving, and to enter into his gates with praise. Come on, open your mouth. This is the moment. This is the time. This is the hour you came for. Yeah, right there, right there, right there, right there. Hey, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you. We glorify you. We magnify your name. God, you shall be exalted above what we feel and above what we wrestle with, above what we need. God, we bless your name. Hallelujah. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. That's what we came for. And can I tell you, this is what your God is looking for. He doesn't need another sermon. He wrote the book. Listen. He doesn't need another worship song. He is worship. He came for his people to interact with him. Lift your hands, lift your hands. Father, we thank you. Hey, Sheo, Baba Say, Landia, Baba Say. Father, we bless you. And we position ourselves. We position ourselves to be refilled. Lift your emptiness. Lift your brokenness. Lift your need to the God who has everything. Father, we open. Say that. Say, God, I'm open. Say, God, I am open. Father, we are open to you. Pour out your spirit and pour out your love and pour out your power that we might be filled. Hey, say, go, Baba, I say, Andia, Baba, I say, lay me a shiki, Andia, Baba, so. Listen, listen. Oh, hey, 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 say, oh, bye-bye. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Hallelujah. Yeah, every need is being filled even now. You don't see it, but in the supernatural, what you need for this week, what you need for this assignment, what you need for this moment is here right now. Thank you, God. Open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing we cannot receive. We're open. We're open. We're open. We're open. We're open. Won't you lift your hands? Won't you lift your hands? Hey, and receive. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Healing power is in the room. Miracle working power is in the room. Listen, listen. If you have a physical need, hear me. I want the minstrels just to come down just a little. Stay there. Just come down. There you go. If you have a physical need in your body, hey, I'm not going to lay hands on you. God doesn't need me to. I just want you to slip your hand in the air. You got a physical need. Something is not working appropriately. You have a diagnosis that you are waiting on feedback for. Listen, the power of God is here now, right now. And all we need is faith. Hey, say, quote, ba 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 ba, say. He is not lacking in power if we will not be lacking in faith. I want you to place that hand on that part of your body. Come on, do it now. Yeah, wherever the need is, close your eyes, open yourself, and Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we dispatch healing virtue. Father, we break every word curse against our physical body. Father, we break every word curse against physical healing, and we relieve ourselves of trying to figure out just how you're going to heal us. God, in this moment, all we ask is that you heal us. Come on, use your mouth and say, move now, God. Heal me now. In the name of Jesus, physical healing is in the room now. Hey, thank you, God. Thank you. I don't need to understand how. Listen, I just need to believe that he can. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Spirit of God is saying there is healing available for emotional wounds, heartbreak. Listen to me. Listen clearly. Heartbreak, disappointment, and discouragement. Feeling abandoned and left behind. Healing is in the room now for emotional and mental hurt. And if that is you, this is what I want you to do. Hey, say, Cole, thank you, God. Thank you, God. This is what we came for. Hey, thank you. This is what we came for. I want you to take your hand and put it on your heart. If you are in the need of relief from disappointment, relief from bitterness, relief from brokenness, put your hand on your heart. And if there is a need for peace, I want you to put your hand on your head. Hey, thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see those who are standing in need right now. Father, we lift our expectation. Hey, there it is. We lift our expectation to you. Father, the brokenness that we feel and the disappointment that we have been wrestling with, God, our expectations we place now at you. Release healing. Come on, use your mouth and say, heal me, God. Heal me, God. Come on, yes, shake hold. Heal me, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's doing it now. Right now. Thank you. I don't have to worry. Thank you. I don't have to figure out how. Thank you. I don't have to be broken. Thank you that healing is available. Thank you that I am in the position to be healed. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, come on. That's it. Spirit of God is saying, hear me. Hey, that's it. This is what we came for. Spirit of God is saying, if you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. Whatever, listen, financial aid matters, don't worry, pray. Relationship matters, don't worry, pray. Job assignments, mortgage payments, don't worry, pray. Wait, thank you. Listen, your adversary is the prince of the air, and his only power is to whisper suggestions to us that are contrary to the truth that God has already revealed. Listen. And the mental assault. Come on, Eve. You hear me. Come on, Jesus, in the wilderness. Y'all hear me. The adversary's tactic is to whisper the opposite of what God has already spoken. So he is not going to tell us God is not able, because he knows that's a bold-faced lie. God has already strengthened and shown himself strong. What he will tell us is God is not able to do it for you. He won't say God doesn't answer prayer. He will mix a little bit of truth with a little bit of lie to get us to move away from what God has already spoken for us. He'll say he can't, he won't tell you he can't answer prayer. He'll say he won't answer your prayer. And the healing we need, listen to me. There has been two, this is not even in my assignment today, okay? This is not in my notes. This adversarial relationship we see between mental and emotional health and deliverance is false. I'm Pentecostal. I was raised holiness. I know deliverance is real. But can I tell you that the warfare is between your ears? And as long as your adversary can get you to think what he is whispering, listen to me, he has already won. Because the power is not in what he does, it's what you and I do. As we relinquish what God has already spoken to us in his word, power is available, and power belongs to who? God. So the time is over for us to be discouraged and depressed and disappointed and broken, walking, wounded believers. Listen to me. We got to this point generationally because of prayer and belief in the Word of God. And can I tell you, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, be ye renewed and transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. Hear me. This assault on mental and emotional health is a trick from the adversary. It is not how believers are supposed to live. And freedom is available. The Bible declares, whosoever the Son has set free is what? Free in deed. Lift your hands. Father, we thank you. Hey, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God, that you have heard our prayers. I thank you, Father, that you have heard our heart cries. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Oh. Father, I thank you that the voice of the enemy is silenced even now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you release healing to us, healing in our minds and healing in our hearts and brokenness being restored. Father, I thank you. Come on, use your mouth and say thank you. God, I thank you that deliverance is available to the believer. Hey, thank you. I hear a freed people lifting a voice of celebration. I can hear a whole people lifting a voice of celebration. I can hear a delivered people lifting a sound of gratitude for victory. Come on, put your hands together. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That we don't have to walk alone. Thank you. That you are ever present with us. Thank you. That healing and deliverance is available. It is our inheritance. Come on, say that. Say, I receive it. I receive. Come on, let your faith be engaged by your vocal cords. Say, I receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Listen to me. This week, as you go throughout your week, do not let what happened here stay in here. Because can I tell you something really quickly, and I'm going to my sermon. What God is looking to do happens from the inside out. He told the prophet when he was going to sit, look for his next king, man looks on the outward, but God looks at the inner parts. Healing and deliverance happens from where? The inside out. You don't believe me, so I'm going to tell you. Jesus told us, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Every deliverance we need is already loose in heaven. Our job is to pull it from there to where? Here. Pastor Jeff, how do you do that? You do that by believing inside what he has already spoken. David said, thy word have I hid where? In my heart. Where's your heart? Inside. Deliverance is a, it manifests inwardly before it comes out outwardly. I'm telling you what I know as somebody who has been delivered. Deliverance happens inside before it shows itself outside. Don't believe me? The Samaritan woman at the well was changed from the inside out, but she had to go and tell her testimony. Come see a man who told me all that I had ever done. And as she walked in the newness of who she was, that deliverance was made manifested. Do you believe that? Say amen. Listen to me. This week, you need to take what you felt in here. Put yourself on your belly. Come on. Some of us need to put it a little closer, you know. Two hands. Somebody say two hands. What happens in here, you need to carry with you all week long. And you need, this is how deliverance is sealed. I'm teaching you something. Listen to this. Something that was taught already to us generationally. Okay? As you begin to walk in faith with the seed of deliverance that has already been planted, the fruit of deliverance will be made manifest. Yeah, come on, that's it. So all week long, your enemy knows this biblical principle, which is why he is going to tell you it did not happen for you. Which is why the enemy of our souls will say to us, that was not real, that was just emotion. Which is why the adversary will say, look, you were just about to call who you know you shouldn't call, that wasn't real. His job is to cause us to relinquish deliverance that we have already received. The parable of the sower says some seed was planted on stony ground. Some seed was planted on fertile soil, but the cares of the world sprouted up and choked out. Listen to me. All week long, this week, you came today needing something. And God had positioned himself to release what you need. So if God is able to do it, and we are in a position to need him to do it, what stops us from receiving and experiencing deliverance? Last thing I will say is this, okay? All week long, you need to care for the seed of deliverance that has been in your soul. How do you do that? Water your seed. Get into your prayer time. I don't care how long it's been since you prayed. Get into a space where you can talk to Him and water the seed with the Word of God. So if you need, listen, we live in a generation. I brought my phone up here just because this is how I do all my study. And I brought my Bible so y'all don't think I forgot how to find the real book. Can I tell you, if there are areas where you need to water seed, you water it with the Word of God. And we have access. If you need, listen, I'm going to teach you what I've been living my entire life. My entire adult life, at least. When I needed faith to believe that God would break, I would read scriptures about the breaker. When I needed faith to believe that God could heal and deliver, I would read parables and stories of Jesus where people were changed instantaneously. When I needed courage, I would read about Joshua, where the Lord said to him, "Be of good courage and do not be afraid." Listen to me. Hey. This week, take care of the seed that God has sown. The seed of deliverance is already here. We're going to water it all week long. Then you have something to stand against the adversary when he comes to whisper suggestions that are contrary to what God has already released. If you believe that, say amen. Come on, put your hands together for the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. Have your seats. Have your seats. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Listen, I am so grateful to be able to be here today. I was excited about hanging out with my family. And I don't know, first of all, I'm the cousin, okay? Y'all don't see me very often, but I'm so glad to see y'all, okay? Say, hey, cousin. All right, here we go. I feel at home now. I was christened in this church right here, right there. I was christened in this church. So the bishop said I was born here. So listen, I'm glad to be here. I'm so very excited. And when Reverend Ford called me and said, hey, Jeff, I want you to come up. I want you to bring the family. I said, listen, this is good. I don't know if I'm going to be able to schedule to bring the whole family, but I'm going to be there. And then yesterday, I had an opportunity to come and fellowship with the dinner yesterday. And that completely gave me a return on every investment to make sure that I was here. I am so grateful to John and Cindy and Kim. Could you put your hands together for those who fled? Reverend Ford, I'm sorry. Yesterday was tremendous. Then I came today. Okay, I got a sermon. I'm going to talk about it really quickly, but I just want you to hear, understand the setting that we are in. Then I came today and I looked over at the minstrels. Wave your hands to me, fellas. These guys, would you please honor God for the minstrels? Now listen, you're clapping because I told you to, but if you knew what was being planted over there are seeds of worship that they are going to take. Lift your hands, guys. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. All of you, lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare a return on every investment of time. God, we declare a return on every investment of practice and rehearsal. God, we declare fruit of every seed of worship that has been sown in their souls. In the name of Jesus, if you believe that, shout yes. It is so. Come on, give God some praise. They killed it. And, you know, I will tell you, I'm so proud of you guys, okay? I'm so very proud of you because there are many other places guys their age can be at this time on Sunday morning. And can I tell you, we were all their age a while ago. And some of us didn't go to church on Sunday with all of our capabilities. I'm going to just leave it like that. Because of what was happening on Saturday night. Fellas, I honor you. I honor the gift of God in you. And I want to tell you, do not let it go. Do not. What you receive here will take you anywhere. So here's the other thing. I was very excited because I got a chance to come and fellowship with family. And I want to listen. I know protocol. I know how I'm supposed to do, but I'm with family. So as long as it's okay, Reverend Ford, is it okay if we just get to the meat? Here's why. God has already done what he was going to do. My job is only to now bring some revelation to what God has already spoken. Is that all right? So here's the thing. First, I want to give honor to God. I want to give honor to Reverend Ford. Give your hand. Give God a hand for your pastor. Lady Jermaine, come on, put your hands together for a wife that moves and works in ministry. Bless God. My dad is here, Bishop Gibbs. If you can, put your hands together for the first Jeffrey Gibbs to hit the earth. I also want to sort of give honor and thanks for all of the family, but I got cousins on my mom's side and my dad's side. My sister is here. Doll Baby is here. B-Ball is here. We bless you for being here. Okay, so it's a blessing. It's a blessing. All right, here's why I was excited. I was excited because I had a chance to come back and fellowship with family. Then I got here yesterday and I was like, yo, this is tremendous. I'm really, really glad that I had a chance to be here. The other thing I will tell you is I was excited because I know that this is a place where the pastor and the leaders serve and pour and serve from a position of being sold out to God. And can I tell you, that is not common. There are a lot of ministers, a lot of pastors who are serving because it's a gig, sadly. And your pastor, your leaders, the ministers, the deacons, deaconesses who are here, they are serving as under God. So if you will, please give God some honor for having a pastor after God's own heart. So listen, I will tell you that while I know you love your pastor, and I bring you greetings from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm the pastor of All Nations Worship Assembly in Charlotte, North Carolina. My wife is the beautiful Jasmine Monique Reed Gibbs, the beautiful. And I bless God that we have been loving each other for 23 years and we have been married for 18 years. And she has not yet figured out that she can do better than the kids. So y'all just pray. And she does not figure it out. Somebody say, bless him, Lord. I came here because, thank you, Bishop Ford. I came here because I was excited to be around family. And I know that you love your pastor. And I believe that the work of pastoral ministry is something that you are called to. You can't just wake up and say, I want a pastor. If you do, you get a screw loose. Something's wrong with you. And I know that our pastors here and many pastors that I've had a chance to sit under and learn under are wonderful. And I honor God for them. We revere pastors in our community. We revere those leaders in our community because of all the different roles they play in our lives. And as great as all of our pastors are, and I can tell you love and work with your pastor, as great as they are, there are some things that they just cannot do. There are some things that they just can't do. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 5. Get your Bibles. I know it's customary for you to stand to honor the reading of God's word, but I'm gonna merge into my sermon. So, Pastor Ford, if it's okay, I'm gonna just have you be seated, okay? Listen, there are some things that your pastors cannot do, and I want to tell you a little bit about what those things are because it's critical for us to understand our role in the assignment of God in the earth. And many of us are really excited to be next to powerful, transformational servant leaders and pastors because of what we see in them. But can I tell you that what God has ordained to come into the earth will only happen, look at me in my eyeballs, if we do the things that they cannot do. If you believe it, say amen. And as great as they are, there are some things they can't do. I will tell you just a couple examples really quickly before we dive into the word. The first thing that I know pastors would not be able to do is to counsel you to sin. Even the fun sins. Your pastor is not going to give you advice to get in some debauchery. That's not his role. That's not her job. They're not going to be able to do that. I will also tell you that your pastors, for as much as they are put in the position to do so, your pastors cannot put anyone into heaven. And I know some of us have gone to funerals where the preacher has had to tap dance and had to wiggle around who the person was in the earth in order to make sure the family was comforted, knowing they can't put them in heaven if they didn't do anything to get there. Do you believe that? Say amen. If you say amen, the sermon will go faster. Here's the other thing pastors cannot do. They cannot keep sick, hurting, messy people from being a part of the church. They cannot do it. As much as you wish that they would tell Sister Johnson to sit down somewhere, they can't keep messy people from being in the church. And can I tell you, some of us should be glad that the pastors let messy people be in church. Some of us should be glad that the pastors are committed to letting broken people be in the house. Some of us should be glad that people who had a past, just look at me so you don't tell on yourself, that people who had a past in these streets are allowed to come into the house of God. Pastors can't just kick people out because they're hurting and broken. And many of us, I know many of us, relish and understand the things that we can do that pastors cannot do. What do you mean by that, Pastor Jeff? There are things that your pastor can't do that you take way too much pleasure in doing. All that stuff that came to your mind right now, I'm talking about that. I'm talking about cussing folk out in the street. You can't do it, Pastor, but I'll cuss them out. You, listen, I know you like it way too much, but your pastor cannot do it. And here's some other things. I want to encourage you, while I want to discourage you from sort of living in and enjoying all the stuff your pastor can't do that'll get you away from your king, there is one thing that I want to encourage you to do that your pastors have not been able to do. They must excuse themselves from. So the question for us in the remaining couple minutes we have left is, what are the things that we should be doing that your pastors cannot? What are the things that we should be doing that our pastors cannot? It is a sermon title, if you want to write it, Doing What Your Pastor Cannot. Doing What Your Pastor Cannot. There is a story that I want to begin with in Mark chapter 5 that helps us understand our role in the assignment of the kingdom of God. And I will tell you, as we shift, Reverend Ford told me that we are shifting into the season of Advent by talking about evangelism, by talking about the witnessing and the moving of our testimonies. Open your Bibles in Mark chapter 5. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. You read from whichever translation helps you understand. But in the NLT version in Mark chapter 5, I want you to go home. This is your homework. You didn't know you were getting homework on Family and Friends Day, but this is your homework. Mark chapter 5, I want you to read verses 1 to 20 at home. Come on, you didn't write it down, so you're not planning on doing it. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 20. Go home and read that, okay? But I'm going to focus on verse 2. We're going to read down to verse 9, and then we'll skip down to verse 15. Mark 5 and 2 says, when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. And this man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained by even with a chain. Look at verse 4 in Mark 5. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was. Listen to me. There are people walking around every day that don't have things jingling on their wrists or their ankles, but who are walking daily with shackles and chains. Okay, pay attention. Look here. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Verse 5 says, day and night he wandered among the burial caves in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him and ran to meet him. How many of us saw Jesus from a long ways away? And something inside of us resonated. Something inside of us moved toward him, even when we did not understand what he could do for us. This man was still some distance away from Jesus, but when he laid eyes on him, scripture says, he ran to meet him and bowed low before him. Look at verse 7. With the shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus, look at this in verse 8, had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." I told you earlier that our deliverances are released in heaven before they are manifested in the earth. Here we can see Jesus had already spoken for deliverance to come. And many times, Jesus' word has been given to us to release us, to shift us. But there is something that we must do to receive it. Say amen. Look here. Then Jesus demanded, look at verse 9, "What is your name?" And he, this is the demon-possessed man, replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." And I don't know about you, but there are many people who we go to work with every day. There are people in our family. There are people in our friend groups who are wrestling with so many things on the inside that they are unable to move into who God has created them to be. There are more to meet the eye on the inside of all of us. And the Bible declares that this man was wrestling with so many demons, so many broken places, so many experiences that shackled him and caused him to not be able to manifest who he was, that they changed his name to Legion. And many of us have friends and co-workers that we know by who they were back in the day and what they did. Oh, y'all don't believe me. Y'all too churchy. Yeah, when you talk about Tina, you don't say this is Tina who was Tracy's son. You say this is Tina who got the 5 kids by 5 different daddies. Yeah, when we talk about Mark, you don't say that's Mark who has an assignment on his life. You say that's Mark who sells dope on the corner every weekend. And here we see a man who had been grappling with this legion of demons in such a way that he was known by what he was dealing with. Get down. At the end of the story, things get a little crazy. And as you read this story later on in your own time, you're going to find that Jesus casts out the demons, and the demons ask permission of Jesus not to be cast into the utter depths. And Jesus sends the demons into pigs, and the pigs run off the cliff and perish. I told you things get a little crazy. Look at verse 15, okay? Down in verse 15, look at what happens next. Mark chapter 5, verse 15. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been, say had been, he was now walking in newness of life, who had been possessed by the legion of demons, and he was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. And look at this. This is what's weird. Look at your Bible. The New Living Translation says, and they, the crowd, were all afraid. Seems strange to me. Verse 16 says, then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd became, look at verse 17, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Yeah, things get a little crazy. This is what happens. Jesus shows up. A man is delivered. People see deliverance. they run and tell others to come see this man Jesus, and something in them, when they interact with the power of deliverance, causes them to be repulsed. Something in these people who heard about Jesus from the rumor mill did not draw them to Jesus. There is something about the systems of church and religion in our world that we have found repulses our culture. Don't believe me? Barna studies show us statistics that tell us that church attendance in the West, where we have Bibles all over the place, in the West, where we have regions of our country called the Bible Belt. Something tells me that George Barna says that church attendance is declining precipitously. People are not going to churches because of their interactions with, hold this up in your head, religion. Because they have not experienced the trueness of relationship. So all they see are broken people and church people, and they don't want the Jesus that we say we represent. So here in Mark chapter 5, something crazy happens. Because we can see these people hearing about the good news, but they begged Jesus to leave. Houseway. Yeah, that's not for y'all. That's for them in the back, okay? How can people come in contact with the man of God himself? God made flesh was in the earth, and they begged Jesus to leave. And can I tell you that while it's easy for us to read this story in 2021 and to position ourselves to think that we would have interacted differently. If I was there, I would have never told Jesus to leave. If I was there, I would have snuggled up next to him like the beloved John was. If I was there, I would have done such and such. But can I tell you, there are times in our walk when Jesus is trying to get close to us, and it causes us to be threatened by the prospect of change. What do you mean? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Come unto me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But we say, Jesus, I like your burden, but I don't want to give up this nice job I have. Jesus, I like your calling, but I like this boo a little better right now. I'm tired of being by myself. Jesus, I like what you're saying. I believe it, but my homies don't necessarily rock with Jesus, so I just don't want to be embarrassed in front of them. Many of us come into contact and proximity with the power of God, and we ask Jesus to leave. Hold up a little bit, Jesus. Don't make me change my ways, Jesus. Yeah, don't ask me to actually live a generous lifestyle. Just let me give a tip in church. Don't ask me to position myself to use all of my gifts for the kingdom. Let me just hide who I am so I can fit in. And so this phenomena of coming into contact with Jesus and being repulsed is something that we see even today. If you believe it, say amen. But look at what happens next. Skip down to verse 18. Mark chapter 5, the gospel writer records, as Jesus was getting into the boat. Stop here. They asked Jesus to leave, and guess what happened? He left. Which means that if we get too comfortable in church, doing the business of church, in such a way that Jesus is not welcome, he will leave. Which means that if we position ourselves to be looking the part, I put a suit on today. I don't wear suits in my church, so I felt good about being able to wear a suit in this church. Then I saw the bishop with some Air Force Maxes, Air Maxes on, and I was like, dang on it. I could have worn my Jordans. Come on, I'm going to get back to my point. I'm going to get back to my point. If we position ourselves with cleaning ourselves up in such a way that we look the part without actually having to receive the transformational part of relationship with Jesus, Jesus will leave. He will leave us to ourselves, which is why there are so many dead churches in our nation, which is why there are churches on every corner in our city and no transformation, which is why city leaders only come to church when it's time to get reelected, because Jesus followers in our community are denying the truth of Jesus. The Bible says Jesus positioned himself to go. And as he was going, look at verse 18. The man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him. There's something about being radically transformed by Jesus that calls us to him. And can I tell you, you should not quench that thirst. Anytime you get an unction from the king, anytime you feel led to pray, anytime you feel like you need to get wisdom, run to Jesus. Here's why. This man begged to go with Jesus. Look at verse 19. Look at this. Don't think you already know the end of the story. Verse 19, but Jesus said, no. Hold up, Rem. This man has been changed. He positions himself to be moving in the direction of Jesus, in the direction that he thinks he should go. How many times? I gave my life to Jesus when I was 17 years old. I was raised in the church. Y'all know my story. But I went to Morehouse College in Atlanta, almost 800 miles away. And I thought I was going to get away from all that Jesus stuff just for a little bit. Just for a little bit. I just wanted to get a little crazy. Not real crazy. Just a little bit. I ran smack dab into Jesus at 17 years old. I was in a college choir rehearsal, and I do not sing. I was there to chase skirts, Uncle Greg. I was there to look for girls. Don't judge me. I met my wife in that choir rehearsal. My point in telling you all of that was my heart got changed. I moved in the direction of Jesus. And then a little while later, Jesus started revealing aspects of my life, of his plan for me to me that did not make sense. I got saved and I thought maybe I should change my major to religion. And Jesus said, no. Look at this. I got saved and I thought, okay, well, maybe I should turn my life to trying to go to seminary. And Jesus said, no, not at that time. I stayed in engineering. Stayed in mathematics, graduated and started working in industry, not knowing that God was putting together the details of my life. This is for you. Some of us are trying to think and preempt the word of God for our lives by thinking we know what Jesus needs us to do. Can I tell you? Our job is not to write the plan. Our job is to submit to the one who wrote every plan. In order to move in God, you do not have to know the whole story and how it works out. Jesus does not require insight. He only requires obedience. Look at what happens. Jesus tells the man no. Now, look, he gets direction from Jesus. Go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you. And how merciful he has been. Go home to your family. In the Greek, this word family means your own. Go to your kinfolk. Go to your friend group. Go to your coworkers. Here's why. I'm getting to my point here now. There are things that God wants to use you and I for. To release transformation in the earth that will only happen as we go to them. We think we gotta get them into the four walls of Taylor Tabernacle for their lives to be changed. Jesus is saying, I gave you a testimony. I delivered you so you can go to them. As you came to church on Family and Friends Day, somebody invited you to this church, even if it's not your church. Somebody invited you to this church. Why? Because of your relational equity with them. Can I tell you? There are people who will only be brought to God by what you demonstrate to them, not your pastor. There are people in your sphere of influence. What do I mean? Y'all know what a sphere looks like, right? It's a ball. That means people in front and behind you. generationally. People on either side of you, your peers. People above you, your bosses. And people beneath you, the people you lead in service. Your sphere of influence will only be impacted by you, not your pastor. And so the mandate of God is to first be changed and then be a carrier, an agent of that change in order for the world to be changed. Do you believe that? Say amen. You don't believe it? Look at verse 20. Look at what happens in verse 20. So this man obeyed and started off to visit the 10 towns of that region. Listen to me. Our region will be changed when changed people go to the region. The Bible says that the man goes off to visit the 10 towns and began to proclaim the great things that Jesus, don't miss these last three words, had done for him. The man didn't go preaching sermons. The only sermon he preached was the one that was in his heart. And can I tell you that there are people who need to hear what God has done for you, who are going to be drawn because of what he did for you, who are going to see transformation lived out in how you walk out your faith. There is an assignment for each and every one of us that is directly connected to the power of God in our lives. If you believe it, shout yes. This man was able to get a response, don't miss this, that Jesus, in this instance, did not get. That's right. And there is a lesson for each and every one of us in this sermon that should prompt us to say, yes, I will go. And I will live out the life that you called me to live. Listen to me, teens and preteens. If you're in high school and middle school, listen to me. You are not, I'm going to free you right now. You do not have to go to school in a three-piece suit. I got one on. You don't have to go to school in a three-piece suit thumping your Bible trying to preach and save people. That's not your job. Your job is to fall in love with Jesus and have a genuine, authentic relationship and then testify, communicate relationally to those around you. Listen, this is the big idea, okay? Jesus gives this man instructions. Jesus gives this man divine revelation. That is a revelation for you and I today. You came to Family and Friends Day, not because somebody invited you, but because God wanted to deposit this assignment in your hearts. Jesus valued this man's witness more than his closeness to him in a religious context. Can I tell you that this man came to Jesus, I believe, in my Holy Ghost imagination, in order to be one of the disciples? Because Jesus had a lot of disciples around him. But can I tell you, having folk around you does not mean transformation in those people who are around you. Jesus had a couple demons rocking with him all the time. This witness of this man was so valuable that Jesus sends him to share it with his family and friends. Do you know why we are a family that has been generationally blessed? It's because when we were at home, we saw our grandmother and our grandfather praying and crying out to God. Can I tell you that I got saved about 11 times? I live in the South. I've been in the South for like 20 years, so I'm from Philly, but 5011 is a Southern thing. This is why, because I misunderstood salvation in my little head, okay? I really didn't understand that. I thought it was like getting a white shirt and trying to keep that garment clean, and then you go to school and you say a bad word, and now your garment is dirty, so you got to get a new garment. That's what I thought salvation was. So it took me a while to figure this out. But can I tell you what drew me to Jesus and kept me until I had my own encounter? Watching carrying service on the altar and seeing people come in the door who were drunks and leave sober by the supernatural power of deliverance. Can I tell you that watching people who were struggling with depression come into church and leave with a joy that the world cannot give and the world could not take it away. The thing that kept me looking to Jesus as the answer was seeing those who had been given an answer by Jesus live their lives. And can I tell you that there is a part of our assignment to walk out the word of God that we are going to be used by God to change a generation. Shout amen. Here's the big idea. This is the one thing I want you to remember. If you can remember this, you can forget all the stuff I've been screaming about for the past 20 minutes or so. There are some people who won't be drawn by the words of your pastor, but will be drawn by the life you lead out. You have kinfolk, family members who will never come to your church, but they will call you when they need to get a prayer through because they see you living this out. I want to empower you today to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be of good cheer and share your life. Your relational equity is your greatest asset in witnessing and evangelizing a broken world. Everyone standing. Here's what I want you to know. The Bible says that relational equity is what changed this story from being repulsive to being redemptive. The Bible declares that this man had more power inside of his testimony than any of his spiritual giftings. Can I tell you, nowhere in the scripture does it show him speaking in tongues, and I speak in tongues. Can I tell you, nowhere in the scripture does it tell him laying hands. Nowhere in the scripture does it show him slaying people in the spirit, giving words of prophecy. That is not in there. Here's why. Because those things are the fruit of a power that is already inside. Look at me, all of you. And the power of God can change us from the inside out in such a complete way that merely coming into proximity with brokenness will draw change in them. So here's your assignment. Those, y'all help me because it's time to go. And if you don't, I'll keep talking. Those who have been transformed have a responsibility to reproduce after their own kind. Ducks make duck babies. Orange trees produce oranges, and transformed people produce transformation in those around them. So here's what the assignment is. How do we do this? How do we do what our pastors cannot? How do we live lives and follow the direction of God in ways that releases transformation everywhere we go? The Bible says this man went to 10 towns. 10 regions because of this Jesus encounter. Here's what I want you to do. First thing I want you to do is be relational. Amen. Be relational. Start with the people you already have relationship with. Amen. Listen, street ministry is, I love it. I grew up on street ministry, okay? But there are some people who will not be changed with a bullhorn yelling at you on Broad and Alany. Is that guy still out there? He ain't out there no more. Okay. When I was going to high school, Broad and Alany, there was a dude on a megaphone. He's still out there? Okay, cool. Hey, y'all need to play. I'm telling you, I'm getting loose now. Here's what I'm saying. Be relational. Start with the people who are around you. And can I tell you this? Relationship is really about listening. The Bible says, be slow to speak and quick to what? Start with those with whom we have relationship with. There are people around you every day. I know when John comes into the office and you're trying to get your coffee and he's trying to tell you about his crazy weekend drinking and living all debaucherously, you're like, can I just have my coffee, John? But here's what I know. God is sending. John could have talked to anybody in the office, because you know John talked to everybody. But God is sending him into your direction. Listen. And I want you to listen. Sometimes there's a prompt for you to give an encouraging word that you don't know when John first comes up talking about his craziness. This is what I want you to do. Be relational. Here's the other thing I want you to do. Okay? Be relatable. Be relational. Be relatable. What do I mean by that? Find the common link in brokenness with those that Jesus is causing you to rub up against. Your commonness is not based on race, ethnicity, class, or culture. The common theme between all of us is our need for a Savior. Which is why the song that the praise team sang earlier was says, every nation, every tribe and tongue, from generation to generation. Be relatable. Listen for stuff that's common in terms of need. And when the moment presents itself, then you share how Jesus changed your life. Can I tell you? The people around you don't need to hear how far they are from Jesus. They already know. You don't have to be the Holy Ghost. He does the convicting. Our job is to just put Jesus in front of them. I know a man. Come on, woman at the well. Come see a man who told me about everything that I had already done. Be relational. Be relatable. Don't clean yourself up so much that you look to present yourself as if you've never struggled. Some of our wounds, some of those scars tell stories. I got a scar in my hand right now. I can tell you exactly how I got this scar. It happened decades ago. Okay? Our scars are tools to help people find their direction to the King. If you believe it, say amen. Okay, here's the fourth thing. Be relational. Be relatable. Be real. If you don't hoop and holler like Pastor John hoops and hollers, don't hoop and holler. Can I tell you how many people have been turned away from the church? Because they're like, yo, church people phony. Church people sing on Sunday and cuss all week long. Okay, I'm going to move on. Y'all didn't like that one. Okay, I'm going to. Be relational, be relatable, be real. Why? This is what I mean. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Listen, be authentic in who you are, because it's not about what you can do. It's about the power of God inside of you. You believe it? Say amen. Be relational, be relatable, be real. Okay? This is what I want you to do. Our witness has to be grounded in our testimony. Not in theory, not in logical argument. Stop arguing with people about Jesus in the comments. Stop losing friends on Facebook because they sin. Jesus doesn't need you to be his rescuer. You're going to champion. You're going to cape up for Jesus in the comment section, but you won't share your testimony in the coffee room. Okay, I'm going to move on. It's time to go. This is why I came. I'm done. I came today to help stir your gifts and to empower us to be conduits of freedom. Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, every head bowed, every eye closed. God, we position ourselves to be conduits of transformation from the inside out. God, we are now deputized. We are duly commissioned in the Great Commission where you say, go unto all the ends of the earth and make disciples. God, I am signing up. Say this. Say, God, I'm signing up. God, I am signing up to be real. Say, God, I'm signing up. God, I'm signing up to be relational. Say, God, I'm signing up. God, I am signing up to be relatable. I will tell the testimony. I will tell of the goodness. I will tell of the power anywhere you send me. And Father, I thank you that our gifts are being stirred right now. Come on, put your hand on your belly. One hand on your belly. God, in the name of Jesus, we stir every gift of deliverance. We stir every gift of assignment. We stir every gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands, by the power of God and the authority in the name of Jesus. Let words of knowledge now come to us in the office. God, let insight and supernatural prophetic insight move to us in the grocery store. God, let us be sensitive and tender to the unction of the Holy Spirit as we are driving in our cars. God, allow us to be postured in school. Allow us to be positioned at work. Allow us to be in a position to be transformative in our communities, at home, in our families. God, move on us as you will. Say, have your way, God. Have your way in us and stir us, stir us, stir us. Hey, thank you. Father, I pray that this moment is sealed by the Holy Spirit. And as we receive the unction, let us remember to obey, obey and move and watch you do what only you can do. If you believe that, come on, put your hands together and shout amen. Listen, it's time to go. This is what I want you to do. I want you to listen to this last part. I've been changed for real from the inside out. And this story of deliverance, this story of deliverance is directly connected to authentic change. But there is a part of all of us that longs for real change. If you are here today and you have never been changed by the power of Holy Spirit salvation, if you are far from God today and you know right now you need Jesus to change your life, if you have never had Jesus as your Savior, if you have never been in the position to accept His love, I want you to come to the altar right now. I know we're in COVID protocol, so keep your mask on, but I want you to move and meet me here. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not be ashamed of what will be done. Do not wait. Move now. If you need salvation, if you need deliverance, if you need healing, I want you to move and meet us here right now. It is available for you today. Amen. Bless God. Now listen, as soon as I said move now, the adversary said don't move. What's wrong with you? People gonna know you ain't saved. I'm telling you how he does. But this is an opportunity. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me now, I will be ashamed of you in front of my Father. This is an opportunity to position yourself to be in full right relationship with the King. Come to meet me right here. Meet me here. Now listen, if you are already saved, you know your assignment, but you know you have not been sharing the transformational work of God in your life. If you have been quenching the move of the Holy Spirit for whatever reason, insecurity, feelings of insufficiency, or just lack of patience, lack of sensitivity. If you have been running by the prompts of the Holy Spirit to get to work on time, if you have been guilty of keeping the word of God to you, to yourself, I want you to move now and meet me. We can get it right now. We can position ourselves. Come meet me here right now. I will tell you that should be more than zero. I will tell you, God did not send us just to hear this word and not be changed. All right. So now that means all of us, say all of us are ready to go and to share the transformative power of God. That means that Monday, tomorrow, when we go wherever we are going, that we are postured and ready to share what God has already done. If you believe that, come on, put your hands together and give God some praise. Oh, yeah, it's worth celebrating. I'm going to share who I am. I'm going to share who God made me. I'm going to posture myself to be what God has called me to be.
Thank God for Pastor Jeffrey Gibbs Jr. Thank God for Pastor Jeffrey Gibbs Jr. Oh my God. Oh my God. Thank God for Pastor Jeffrey Gibbs Jr. We're going to let him catch his breath. Get a little water and a little mint. I'm going to bring him back up for the benediction. But before we do, we're going to dispense with the announcements. You will receive them via our social media communication. You'll know what's going on. For an opportunity to give, it's very simple. For those that are gathered here in the house of worship, whether you're in the sanctuary or upstairs in the overflow, you'll find two baskets at the exit door. One is for the church. One is for our speaker. Feel free to give your offering there. If you're not here, if you're joining us online via YouTube or Facebook, somebody tell me what to say. Text the code. Somebody tell me the code. Anybody know what it is? Taylor 61. Type that in. Type that code. And send it to 73256. That's the number you send it to. And just put Taylor 61. That'll bring you to our online platform. You can be a blessing to the ministry. For those of you that are not communicating electronically, can always drop your love offering into the mail addressed to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. You drop it in the mail, we'll get it, we'll add it to what God has given us to advance His kingdom. So those are three ways you can give. Take advantage of that. Again, if you're here in the sanctuary, offering plates are there as you exit the sanctuary. You can give online, Taylor 61, or you can drop it in the mail. As far as our announcements, they'll be coming out Monday morning. You'll find out all that we have for the balance of this month and going into next. What a timely message. What a timely message. Why? Because the holidays are upon us. Many of us, if not all of us, will be gathering with family. We'll be gathering with friends, either in person
or online through our workplaces, through our college reunions, high school reunions. And we will have the very opportunity that He prepared us for during these times. What a timely word. So we all have our homework assignment. We all know what God has called us to do. Thank God for the man of God who just reminded us. Say, yep, that's what I need to be doing. Let us begin this week. Shall we all stand? We're going to receive our pastor. He'll have the last saying in the benediction. Pastor Jeffrey Gibbs, Jr.
Thank you. Lift your hands. Father, we thank you that we have been postured to move into purpose. Father, I thank you that you have blessed our families. I thank you, God, that you have blessed our friend groups. God, I thank you that you have shifted us. Yeah, that you have shifted us into where we are going next. And that we are now carriers of the assignment that you have given each generation before us. Now, God, bless us as we leave this place, but never from your presence. Let the sweet communion of your Holy Spirit rest rude and abide with us now and forevermore. Bless us as we go to do what our pastors are unable to do for us in you. We love you and we honor you. If you believe that, put your hands together and shout amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love you all. Have a great day.